Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And this guy on the Northern Line, and he honestly just, it felt like every time I'd see him on the Northern Line, just like to flash. And
oh my God,
it was quite a long time ago. But my way dealing with it, it was one of those things of afterward. He's like sat opposite me, and there was no other seats, so he could have sat anywhere. And I just stood up and went, oh, for God's sakes.
Welcome to Women Are Mad, where we invite women to bring their anger into everyday conversation. We're all feeling it. Let's get together to work out what to do with it. I'm Selima Saxton. I'm an actress and writer.
I'm Jennifer Cox, and I'm a psychotherapist. We noticed that anger is the one emotion that women aren't allowed to openly express. Meanwhile, everything around us is making us absolutely furious.
By talking about women's anger freely, we hope we'll inspire you to do the same. Jen, what has made you angry this week?
Okay, so this week I noticed a behaviour of mine that tipped me into anger, and this is a tendency to apologise for stupid things.
Yeah,
this is the key example. I opened my dishwasher mid-cycle and found myself apologising in a really panicked, like, you know, that kind of rush of chemical.
What, to your kids or to your husband?
To my dishwasher.
Oh no. Okay.
To my dishwasher for interrupting it mid-cycle. Like as if, you know, you've burst in on somebody doing a poo and going, oh, sorry. And you back out and you think, oh God, it was like that. And I thought this is a crescendo. If you're apologizing to the world to this extent.
Yeah. I mean, inanimate objects. Yeah. That's another level up. What's prompted this new level of apology, do you think, in your life?
Well, it's funny because I think it is still that tendency. Instead of feelings more typically going into anger for women, I think it is more that they sort of shove themselves into the anxiety spectrum.
Yes,
and that's where we find ourselves sort of, you know, ooh, in the back foot position rather than the striding forward.
But that's a really important thing to note, actually. I'm glad that you said that, because I think I get a flurry of anxiety when I'm slightly overwhelmed, and then it becomes like this twitchy, nervy hop dance, doesn't it, where you apologize to dishwashers and various other objects in your life because you can't quite find your footing. I think
you're knocked off.
I also apologize. This is a terrible habit, and I think it's better to apologize to a dishwasher than to do this. I say sorry when I am about to say something very direct or explain why I'm angry with somebody. So it's a really bad habit. Yeah, I'll say, oh, I'm so sorry, but I think that was awful.
Ooh, but this is interesting because it almost then takes on a sort of aggressive quality.
Right?
So then sorry is really sorry, not sorry.
Yes.
Mm.
It's a terrible habit. It would be better, wouldn't it, to prep someone and say, listen, I really need to talk to you about something. I really need to say something.
That's but you've
been
know,
upsetting me. I can't do that healthy preamble.
And isn't it funny? Because when someone said that to you in the past, I need to talk to you, does your heart not fill with a kind of cold ice? Oh my God, what have I done?
Yeah, me is me.
Same, but yeah, but I think it's the same reflex. It's the same part of us. I'm in trouble. It's my fault.
Yes.
Taking up too much space, done something wrong.
Yes. Yes, either side, whether I'm apologizing to you or receiving it, I have to shrink in order to say it or receive it.
Yeah.
And let you kind of flood me with it all, and I'll take it all. Yeah, interesting.
So, shall I introduce our guest this week?
Yeah, great. Please do move us along.
Okay. Our guest today has funny bones. When she's not writing sitcoms or performing stand-up, she's presenting the hit podcast Funny Mummies. possibly in her slippers, please welcome the dreamy Hattie Ashdown.
Oh, hey. Welcome. Thank you. It sounded like you said hip podcast. I was like, I've got a hip
podcast. Well, let's say
be
hip.
You can be hip. My God. Actually, that could be our thing, couldn't it? We're like a hip parenting podcast.
There you go. See?
Well, we're not a parenting podcast. I should say that first. We're very strongly not a parenting podcast. We do not give any advice on parenting. It's complete opposite. Like, don't do anything that we say.
Well, that is kind of hip.
Yeah. And also, I think it's great to hear parents just talk about and be open and talk about what's going on. So in fact, it kind of is. For me, that's a parenting podcast because I don't want to hear, I do this, we recommend this, because it rarely works in my household anyway.
Well, hopefully we're the place for people that, you know, just feel like they don't fit in as well as parents and stuff like that.
Yes, that's really, really important. We're gonna get right into it, Hattie, and ask you, what makes you angry?
Oh, my Lord. I say that because I tried to write down a list, and as I'm sure most of you get, there's so many.
Well, you know, it goes two ways, Hattie. Yeah. Either people go, oh, nothing makes me angry.
Which is sinister.
Yes.
Jenny's like, meh.
I would say, to just flag up my sort of mood at the moment, I'm actually, weirdly, even though I had a massive shock about 8 weeks ago.
I'm sorry.
Weirdly, I'm the most, I'm less angry in a way because, and this is what I've just been set off therapizing. I've made that word up. Is that when something really big happens, it just makes you look at all the little things like, I don't care.
Yes.
And so it's been kind of calming in that way. So things I would have written 8 weeks ago are very different to like
That's interesting.
I guess, because like I was thinking, like I have a real fear of heights, and I was walking over a bridge, and I didn't even notice that this bridge was so high and flimsy. And I was like, normally I would have just been like so scared, but I'm just like, feel like I've gone through such a shock and I've had to deal with that, that it's like, yeah, just throw me out of an aeroplane.
So without going into detail, has there been a big life event that's made you look at things differently?
Well, I think because so my husband said he wants to leave me and the kids. We've been together 12 years. It was just a shock because I didn't.
You had no idea?
I didn't have any idea he was thinking of doing that. I knew he wasn't happy, but I thought it was his, you know, depression, as we do. We've been sort of working that. I thought, blah, blah, blah. And when you've got two kids and we both live very hectic lives, we're both sort of, you know, become ships in the night. With our sort of jobs and gigging and stuff, and
got young kids,
they're 8 and 5, and so it was a shock because he's a good guy. I know that sounds silly, but he's like one of the good guys, and so that makes it more of a shock. And because you expect it to be like, ooh, these rotters, but he's been very nice, very amicable. So I don't want to, you know, for the sake of my children and everything, I don't know. But I think it's really important for this authenticity of this podcast of where I'm at. So obviously I'm going to park aside being angry at that situation, because the anger for that is to do with communication, that he didn't come to me sooner and feels like now it's too late.
Right.
Like, he's like, I've worked through it myself for a year. Now it's too late.
Oh, hang on.
Yes, Jennifer, we can
have some thoughts about that.
Jennifer might have thoughts.
Yeah. Jennifer has got thoughts.
So in terms of, I do still have a long list. I think there's when I looked at them, I thought, actually, they're all quite connected, but lack of empathy. Now, people that have lack of empathy, and I was also thinking about, I did a show last year and it's on Next Up, not to promote it.
No, promote it.
Promote away.
Get us, come on.
I'm not on BBC. It's called The Worry Draw, and it was
good name.
Predominantly about, not about grief, but about being a grief ally. And one of the things that drove me to do that show was, because I lost my mum about 6 years ago, and I always say, don't say lost. I didn't go in the supermarket and lose her. She died.
Yeah.
And but just people really bad we've been able to deal when someone's died. So, and I guess the empathy thing comes close, but just for us to be less scared. And it just used to really make me angry, but also make me angry in terms of people that have lost somebody who feels the need to go, you know, you got, my dad's dead. And then people, and they sort of go, but it's okay and all that. It's like, you don't have to say it's okay.
No, sit with it.
Look after them.
So I get angry at that. And then people do all this sort of, oh, it's a good innings and all that.
I hate
all those expressions.
Richard E. Grant said in an article yesterday. I'll send you this article.
Don't get me going. Because
he said that when his wife died, he saw some neighbours and he saw them cross the street in order to avoid him.
And he was waving.
Yeah, he was waving. Yeah, and they just pretended not to see. And he said it was amazing how many friends he lost. Wow. After the death of his wife.
You do know who your, it's not so much your friends, but you, because there are still friends that are good in different ways.
Yeah.
And they might be practical or whatever, but you realise who your comrades are.
Comrades. Yeah, good word. That's a really good word.
Like, it's the ride or dies. Yeah.
Yeah. People that, it's a cliche, but leave the lasagna on the doorstep. And I did the, in my show, I gave away these cards, which is, it was sort of thing, it sort of said, I'm sorry that you've had this shit.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can, it's probably nothing I can say, but here's something I can do. And the idea is you fill in the blank, like I'll walk your dog.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Because I get really, and I've had it a little bit lately with this.
Yes, have you?
Yeah, because it's a similar grief type thing where people go, I don't know what to say. I'm sure there's nothing I can say to make you feel better.
Just try.
Or send me some flowers.
Yeah, I agree. But do you know what, Hattie? It's interesting. I had a big life event about 18 months ago, and this comrade thing that you're saying makes so much sense. Some people, I think they worry that it's catching almost, don't they?
I think that's
some
true.
Kind of grief or a big new transition in your life. Mm-hmm, if they come too close to you, then they're going to catch some terrible thing. And
I have actually said to closest friends, I've said, I know, like with my partner thing, I know this might be hard for you because a lot of my friends are in the same boat.
Yeah.
And I know particular ones, this might be a bit of a trigger for them because it makes them think, oh my God, are we okay? Are we wobbly or whatever? Mm. So I do take that into account with some people, but what's been beautiful is, and the same with the grief with my mum, like, yeah, people who you don't expect doing the most wonderful things or saying the most wonderful things or hardly doing anything. Yeah, that's just lovely. Mm. But yeah, so I feel like people that struggle, I struggle with people who don't have empathy. And but then my other one is I struggle with ignorance. So
in what sense? What do you mean, Hattie? Like,
no, but I'm saying I struggle with it. So I think, like, I should be more empathetic to the people that don't have empathy. And I'm getting,
I love it.
Oh, no.
And then I'm going round and round in circles here.
Oh, no. This feels like, so we were just talking about the over-apologising that women do. And I think also this kind of over-protecting as well, like you were saying, you know, oh, I must, poor them. Like, what if what's happened to me stirs up stuff for them?
Yes. Okay. Is that
who cares about them?
Jennifer, I'm very early. Do you know what? I'm very early because I've been back to my grief counsellor since this has happened, and she's absolutely fabulous. She feels like a best friend as well now. And yeah, this is, so I'm jumping all over the way at place with topics. I hope that's all right.
No, that's great. We love
But this is something I'm like, okay, because I said to her, I feel the worst thing about this process that I'm going through with my husband is one of the things he points out was my sort of loud and brashness and being angry. So as you can imagine, I'm trying to delegate stuff with him and I'm just got this second, third million voices going, oh, well, don't say it like that because then you're being angry, which is what
he hates.
So I'm going mad. I'm like,
oh no.
Well, I will just say as a personal, not as a therapist, I will say you're gagged. You're totally backed into all sorts of corners. Yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. He's won.
But and also Hattie, you know, presumably one of the most beautiful, extraordinary things about you is your ability to express and communicate. I mean, isn't that in your DNA?
Why isn't he celebrating?
So isn't that wonderful?
I know. Thank you. That's very kind of you. And I think somewhere down the line, and that's again a whole new therapy lesson, I think that basically he detached, and there's certain people and group and to do with work and what he does. He's detached over there. And it's like, I obviously didn't see it, or maybe I did a little bit, but you don't have time to really address it, or you try to, you know,
like, kids.
Yeah, let's go for a date. But that doesn't really, going for a date doesn't really solve it. You need to be doing stuff together. We stopped connecting. When we met, we did comedy and stuff together. You know, we stopped doing anything together. And I think
it's very hard with tiny kid. It's very hard. It's very hard.
But she said to me, my counsellor, she said, because I was saying, I just feel really horrid stuff that's coming out. It's like, God, you know, I feel, and I said all what I just said about not being able to, you know, talk about anything simple with him because I'm so second guessing myself.
Oh.
And she said, why is he? And I said, but he's such a nice guy. And she's like, well, look, the thing is, and this is probably something you cover on the podcast all the time. Because he's a nice guy and he's a quiet guy. It's like, why? And you're sort of big and loud. And it's that thing of like, why is that bad? And why is that aggressive? And blah, blah, blah. It's like you just said, I'm just sort of working through that at the moment because maybe that's just the way I was brought up as well, you know. There's all stuff tied in with that, isn't there?
But hang on. I don't even want you apologising for it in the way you were brought up. I mean, that's just how you communicate as an adult, as a human, and how bloody glorious that you're able to articulate, feel it, and say it. I'm not saying you're a perfect human, but I'm just.
Plus, it feels like there is some blame going on, as in, it's a really easy target to say it's your communication style.
I agree.
It's your being too much. Like, you know, for all sorts of reasons, by the sound of it, there's been a disconnect. There's been a kind of, you know, a separateness come in. But why does anyone get blamed for that? Why does that have to come back and sort of sit, you know, on your threshold? I don't know. It just feels like it's all very convenient.
Yeah, and it's just hard because I can't dig into it because he doesn't see anything to work on. So we can go round and round and round in circles and
Okay. Let's park that for now.
Yeah, let's park that for now.
Let's help you move away from that stuck circuitry for a sec. Yeah. When did you last get angry with someone or something? And describe what happened.
Yeah, and I thought about this and I thought, well, you know, obviously I'm getting lots of angry sort of like discussions and stuff with my husband and but I feel like it's an emotional, it's more upset and it's a hurt angry. Yeah. So, which all my anger probably comes from a hurt place, really. Mm. So we'll part that. But I think, I still think it's the narrative for where I'm at. So a little, to try and give you background, I live in quite a, let's say, not liberal area. And and we was meant to have a non-binary teacher for my son this year. Long story short, let's just say certain small-minded, this is where my ignorance thing came up, is... Mm. Were not happy about it, but no one was wanting to say, but it was all that kind of like, what do you think about it? You know, really wanting me to just dive in.
And
I was like, I'm absolutely fine as long as they're a good teacher. Mm-hmm. And my son's fine. He was like, I said, what did you think of a mix? Because you say mix, you know, what do you say of mix, Lainey? And which I thought so cool. Everyone should be a mix. I think.
Mm-hmm. And I've never heard that.
Like her voice. He said, that was it. Because they were French.
Oh,
and that was it. And then just before we started back to school, got a letter to say that Mix Lainey wasn't coming because of visa problems. Suspicious. And the angry episode since all this happened with my husband, I was talking to some neighbors over the road. Stupid of me, really. I should have known they wouldn't be on the same side of the road as me. I it came up in conversation, and oh my gosh, I don't know if you really want to hear some of the awful, because it probably might be triggering for people, but I couldn't believe it. And normally I get really angry with myself sometimes for not being a good ally, whether it be racial stuff or whatever. And I was so pleased that I think because of this anger I've had going on, I was just able to be an ally. And wow, I was so pleased that I said something and I stood up. I think they're not talking to me now, but hey, I don't need them.
Who cares?
So
how great that there is that anger has propelled you forward in some other way. It's really stuck with me what you said about the bridge as well. I think that's such a lovely metaphor, how you didn't feel, you weren't worried about, you know, the height of everything.
Oh, I went up to a castle in Cornwall, and just before we came back for half term, and just before he dropped his bomb, and I was absolutely petrified, couldn't get across this bridge. And that's a whole nother thing to psychoanalyze, because I was bit to the point with him next. So I remember him not giving me any sympathy. And again, that makes me feel like a crazy woman, but I was petrified, almost to tears. And oh God. So this bridge was a big thing. You know, I was just like, brum, 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 brum.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm halfway across this bridge and I don't care.
So interesting, isn't it?
But go on.
There's something about like how you'd think that this person in your life should have given you courage and a sense of safety, but actually you feel safer without, potentially.
I'm trying to think of this Sex Pistols line of anger is an energy, and I just think that this anger that I've got that he has done this to the families, I'm trying to use it in a positive way.
Well done.
That's so impressive. And how is that? I mean, we always do ask people when anger has driven them to do something incredible, and I would say you're in the beginnings of some kind of phase of your life with those aspects now.
It was just sort of like, I felt being an ally, I guess, was an incredible thing. But I don't know if I'm really doing anything incredible. I'm trying to be easy on myself to get up and, you know.
Well, that can be quite incredible for women.
And it's
quite unusual.
Also, Hattie, I think just to keep going when you've got young children and a career and a big life event has happened. Just to keep going.
I've only booked my provisional, but I've booked driving lessons.
Brilliant.
Which is something I'm really scared of. My oldest said to me, "Mummy, you've got to face your fears."
I think we have to acknowledge that as well. It's, you know, the word incredible, particularly when you're a parent as well, when you're a woman in a certain stage in your life and with big ambitions career-wise, I'm sure, incredible things can often come in disguises, can't they? And with small steps.
Yeah.
Also, I was thinking about like the fact that your kid sort of echoed that back to you. That suggests that that's what you've given them. That's how they feel. You face your fears. You put yourself out there. You sort of bear the discomfort. And because where would that have come from other than, you know, through basically you instilling it in him or her?
Well, I hope so. He's quite fearless. In a lot of ways, very sensitive though, my oldest son. But he has ADHD and he's low support autistic, which the autistic sort of comes out more in his no barriers.
Right. Okay.
To me, he's just confidence. I'm like, he just walks into any situation. But, you know, I mean, obviously, in terms of anger, the thing that makes me mostly angry is that they won't put the flipping shoes on the 10th time I've asked, which I'm sure comes in as a popular answer, but it really, and then you look at that, why does that make me so angry? And it's that going back to just not feeling listened, and it's just frustrating. Yeah.
And also, I think it's the space that all these things take up. This has often come up actually about, you know, holding lots of things and people in a woman's brain. And then I think the anger can come out because all the little compartments are full.
Yeah.
and you've got things to do and bigger ambitions to get on with, but everything is clogged up.
Oh, well, that's another thing. I mean, I don't know if it's anger or sadness, but saying about stuff recently, the overwhelmness of being selling yourself, whether it be, now let's be honest, if you're an actress or whether you are sort of your own business. And yeah. A lovely, I don't know if you remember her as a presenter, Sarah Kaywood, but I followed her on Instagram. And I shared her post. She did such a vulnerable post.
I saw.
And I really related to it because the thing of, like, you feel like when you're self-employed, it's never shut. The shop is never shut. And that in itself has made me very angry at times, because it's like, but then you pull yourself together because there are pros and cons of that, you know. But like you say, it's still, it just adds to the overwhelmness. And I don't know what the answer is. And I blame social media. It's like, I think this relates to a question you asked later on, into sort of like little things of modern day. But I think that's the thing. It used to just be, well, I'm a comedian. This is my website. Find me. You know? And now it's just a million different social medias. Which one should I be concentrating on?
Oh, my God. I only just discovered that Instagram wants you to do threads as well.
Another job.
Yes, exactly. Also, I've had to introduce Jen to Instagram because of this.
I was a total, I was a recluse. Lucky thing.
Jen was just like a monkey with a kind of just going.
Not even. Totally unevolved, but in a really happy way. I was very happy.
Yeah, and I feel bad. I feel bad that I had to move you out of your
misery and it is, again, a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because, and this is what Sarah said, you know, I've met some fantastic people, really fantastic people, particularly when I did my Worry Draw show, and it was nice to have you know, other people that have gone through the same thing. And you do sort of feel like you're, when you've lost a mum, you feel like you're in a gang want to talk to other people. So it's been lovely bringing those people to me. And you know, so I guess it just, you just got to try and find whatever way that is of controlling it and go right.
Well, or releasing it. So on the note of that, would you like to step into our virtual rage room? Aspect of modern life making you fume?
I guess WhatsApp groups, particularly parenting WhatsApp groups. It's the, and again, you could debate with the social media the pros and cons of it, because, but it's when people are on one of mine, quite, you know, passive aggressive, which is, was someone said recently, it's like, it's not passive, it's just aggressive. So I don't know. It's like nowadays you just go to the school gates and you'd find out whatever. And it's just a lot of going round and round and round and circles. And then, there was like bullying stuff going on recently. And the mum was clearly knew who the kid was. Because the kid had told him, but she wanted to come on there and say that her son had been hit by this kid. And
named names.
She didn't name names. She goes, I'm not going to name names, because I think parents need to have.
Tall.
She was like, parents need to have a word with their children. And it's like, well, what? Just go to the teacher for one.
Yeah.
And, but if you really want to go to that mum, like, don't come on this site. And then it just creates gossip and everyone going, oh, what is she talking about? And I mean, that is quite exciting, but you know.
but there's a sense of like the braying masses, isn't there?
Yes.
All of this stuff's like being stirred up.
Okay, angriest moment ever on public transport.
It was a sexual harassment situation, which I know is not funny, but it came up because of stuff recently that's come up where we're all sort of women acknowledging like, oh yeah, I did have that, didn't I? That was not really out of order. And this guy on the Northern Line, and it felt like every time I'd see him on the Northern Line, just like to flash. And
oh my God,
it was quite a long time ago. But my way dealing with it was one of those things of afterward. He's like sat opposite me and there was no other seats. So he could have sat anywhere. And I just stood up and went, oh, for God's sakes. Walked off.
Perfect.
I don't know whether that was, but it was sort of like, I'm not getting scared. Great. I'm not getting
I love
emotional.
That.
It was just like, oh, you pathetic.
Idiot.
Well done.
But probably buggy rage on the bus with...
What, your own, whilst you're with buggy them with buggy?
Both. Like, as in somebody that, like, we... Oh, it's been so many years. Like, ones where you're like, I'm going to close down my buggy, even though mine's the hardest one to close down. Yeah. And no one else is closing theirs down. And I think one time it was like stuff was slinging out of the bottom of the buggy and like no one's helping. There's a thing the other day saying, like, when you're pregnant, everyone gives you a seat, but actually when you've got kids is when you really need the seat.
And that's when they hate you the most. Yes. That's when they hate you the most, isn't it? When you've got all your stuff.
A kid. So, yeah, and just, I mean, you know, obviously a lift assister, but honestly, some mums can be terrible with the buggy situation, and that's the thing, they give us a bad name. And I'm like, just you can budge up a bit more, or sometimes obviously you get wonderful people and we're all looking out for each other, and I always say there should be a mum bus
that, oh yeah,
just for mums and buggies,
and a mum train and
a mum train.
Cafe and a
mum land.
Yeah,
mum land.
Let's go. Do you know I remember when my eldest, when she was two, pulled the emergency thing on the tube, geez, and the whole train stopped, and then I had to get, and then the driver spoke to me and said, or spoke to the train saying, what's happened? And I had to go, I'm sorry it was me, my child. And then I got off, but, you know, obviously, even though it was nowhere near where we were going.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
mum's transport.
Your mum's transport.
You're not in, you wasn't in the middle of the tracks or something then?
No. It was a tube line. Oh, hi.
Oh, that just feels so awful that you would have to get off because you anticipate everyone is going to be hating you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because someone
could have just said to me, oh, don't worry, it's okay. You know,
yeah, but obviously, right.
Obviously
I'm
not.
Thinking if you'd been a dad with a kid, you know, maybe they wouldn't have got off.
Oh, don't get me started on that. Well, that's your dad with a kid. It's that whole thing. It's like, oh,
what a hero.
What a hero. And yeah, and there was a thing in the news recently. But here you go. Here's something in the news I was angry about. So I think it was about on a plane and the whole thing about should they basically not have kids on the plane.
What?
Or some kind
stuff
of rule.
Them underneath.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I just caught
pages. I don't know. I mean,
no. Yeah.
Just put them in the luggage department. And this woman was sort of, I just think she was sort of saying, no, she was debating that she agreed. Like, I don't want to, I'm trapped. So I don't want this kid that's potentially going to be loads of noise. But it's like,
What can they do?
You move away as the years move you away from those screaming, you know, ones, the zone, scream zone. I think it affects you a bit less. Like you're really keyed in when you've got little kids because it's true. Like, oh God, is that mine? Is that? And your body just reacts completely. I think it gets a bit dulled as you go through. And yet they seem to be the ones who have the biggest beef with little kids, you know, the older you get,
but don't forget, but there are some people who are waiting for the beef everywhere.
Will find beef.
Yeah, wherever. They're like sniffing it out, aren't they? Always desperate for it.
I had a little bit of that last night. I went to see Madonna.
There was
a guy behind us. And he got really drunk and everyone, you know, and he did, I will say when he got aggressive with his mum, rightly so, chuck him out. But before then, everyone was really bothered about it. And I was a bit like, it turned. But he was so drunk. I think it was just kind of like, he was just like, his mum, which people thought was his girlfriend. I was like, no, it's his mum. Anyway. Up until then, I wasn't that bothered about him. Like, I know he was drunk, and I don't know. I was just like, I felt like people were like, because they were going, chuck him out, and all like this. And I was like, it's fine. Like,
yeah, until the mum bit, but then the mum bit.
Until the mum bit was like,
there's a line.
There's a line. Don't mess with mums.
Funny. They took him off, and she went, are you looking after him? And they went, yeah. And she went, good. And she just carried on watching the show.
She's possibly used to it.
Yeah, sounds
Patty,
like it, doesn't it?
Thank you so much for being here with us, sharing in our rage.
You've been brilliant.
I feared it would turn into a therapy session. Hopefully, I always think, you know, someone out there will relate and help me.
Yeah.
That's what I always think.
I think that's important. Yeah.
It's okay, sister. You're going to be okay.
she was brilliant.
Yes.
What reflections have you got, Jen? I'm interested in your takeaway from this.
I think what was really interesting was this point about the being too much.
Yes, me too.
And how it's funny, isn't it? Because I think a lot of women sort of suppress themselves way before they could imagine they've been too much. So it's like a preemptive repression, you know, or I must, so be very polite, everything held back. But then when women are more, do have more of a tendency to talk and share and process, you know, outwardly, often afterwards they come away feeling nothing but regret. So it's also, either way, yeah, go on.
We're also apologizing. That's where I go sorry often. I'll say it all, and then afterwards I go, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll text you and you or whoever and go, I'm so sorry. That was, I just went on and on. I said everything and sorry.
Do you know what I would say to our dear listeners? Try a little experiment of not saying sorry.
I'm going to join in on this.
Yes, join in. Mm. So not apologize preemptively and not apologize subsequently. So just don't do it and see what happens.
But what if I've done something wrong?
You won't have.
Because I'm your perfect co-host.
Because you are a vision of perfect womanhood. Thank you for listening and sharing in our anger.
And remember, you're not mad to feel mad.
Please like and subscribe. It helps other people find the podcast.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.